بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Apologies, Ikhwan, for a late beginning in today's session. We pick up Ikhwan from the Hisar or the Muqata'ah, that is, we pick up and continue from the period of the boycott that occurred with the tribe of Quraysh, or in particular the tribe of the Messenger ﷺ, or the Far'a, the subsection of the Messenger ﷺ. As we mentioned, the Muslims and the non-Muslims were boycotted until they handed over the Messenger ﷺ, and that was a period and a boycott that occurred and continued for some 3 years in Lent. And it was a difficult time. It was a time of hunger. It was a time of hardship, since none of them, that is, none of the tribes outside of the tribe of the Messenger alayhi salam, would marry them. They wouldn't trade with them. They were boycotted in absolution, and they took then to living and to dwelling in some of the mountain passages in Mecca. The period then, it continued, as we mentioned previously, up until some of the notable tribesmen were upset, and they were not happy with the manner in which the boycott had taken place. And from them, Hisham ibn Amr ibn Rabi'a, who came together with a number of other individuals and decided that they were going to put a stop to the Hisar and a stop to the boycott. And similarly, from among those who rejected their attempt to stop the boycott, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent Abu Talib to them and laid down a condition that if I am able to inform you of a thing, then yani the boycott should be stopped. And he said that indeed if I inform you of what has happened to the pact itself, that is, the pact itself, it was written, it was folded, and it was placed inside that which resembled the purse, and then it was connected and hung upon the Kiswa of the Kaaba. He said that if you go to it, you will now find that termites have consumed it. And they have consumed the whole of the pact, the whole of the agreement, other than the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as it occurs in some riwayat, that the whole of the pact has remained intact, other than the name of Allah. So some riwayat mention that the whole of the pact was consumed other than the name of Allah, while other narrations mention that the name of Allah was consumed by termites within the pact. And they went and found that truly it was as the Messenger ﷺ, he said, after agreeing that they would stop the boycott, they went and found that truly it was as the Messenger ﷺ, he said, though they said it was nothing but more continuous magic, they still agreed to stop the boycott. And so the boycott ended after a period of some 3 years. And it was, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, a period of difficulty, a period of hardship. After the ending, or after the boycott came to a cease, the Prophet ﷺ made dua against the tribe of Quraysh. And there are some narrations that indicate the Messenger alayhi wasalam, after the boycott, he made dua, and because of his dua, a famine occurred among the kuffar of Quraysh. And there was a famine for a period to the extent that they were taken to eating dead animals, and they consumed the flesh and the skin of animals because of a shortage of food and a shortage of meat and what have you. To the extent that the Quraysh, they made dua, or they approached the Prophet ﷺ, and they beseeched him that please make dua, that this stops, that this comes to an end. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua, and Allah Azza wa Jalla lifted this azab from them. And we had the revelation of the verse, the day that Dukhan, the day that the Dukhan is seen, on the day that Dukhan comes. Some of the Mufassirun, they held that this ayah was revealed in relation, as occurs in Surah Dukhan, that it was revealed in relation to this affair. Since all of those who were suffering, anyone, or after the dua of the Messenger of Allah, the tribe of Quraysh, they would look, if they would look upwards into the sky, they would see that which resembled smoke. And so it is said, or some of the scholars of tafsir, they held that this ayah was revealed on account of this instance and of this occurrence. While others, they held that that was not literal smoke, but it was something that was apparent in their eyes, or something that, because of their weak state and because of the weakness that they were going through, that it appeared, and that their visions became blurry to the extent that it appeared that there was smoke above them. And what is most correct is that the ayah is in relation to smoke that will come towards the end of time. But the period then was followed by one of famine, which was an adab from Allah Azza wa Jal upon the non-believers, upon those who were from the pagans of Quraysh. Thereon after, Allah Azza wa Jal lifted and raised that adab, and the affair of Quraysh returned back to normality. But as far as Quraysh with the believers, then they returned back to ta'zeeb. And they returned back to punishing and harming the believers. That period was not a period of reflection for them. Rather, it was a period that caused them, when it ended, it caused them to do nothing but return back to their previous evil ways. What occurred during that time was one or two of the well-known stories within the seerah. From them, the story of Ibn Umm Maktoum, the blind companion of the Messenger of Allah, who came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam after this period of the Hisar and after the Muqata'a, after the boycott. He came seeking to embrace Islam and seeking to hear from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Messenger was giving da'wah at that particular time. And so he turned away from Ibn Umm Maktoum based upon the fact that he was giving da'wah to one of the notables of Quraysh. And Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the verses Abasa wa tawalla, which was something of disciplining the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that which he did. It occurs on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha in an authentic narration that occurs in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi and elsewhere, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Anzala abasa wa tawalla fi ibri maktoum al-a'ma. أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل يقول يا رسول الله أرشدني وعند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل من عظماء المشركين. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said that indeed the verses of Abasa wa Tawalla were revealed concerning the affair of Ibn Maktoum, the blind man. And she said that indeed he approached the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and he had sought from the Messenger, requested him saying, guide me. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with him one of the notables from among the pagans, from among the mushrikun. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from Ibn Maktoum, giving da'wah and calling the pagan. And it was said that the pagan was Ubay ibn Khalaf. And so that occurred after the Hisar, after the Muqata'a, and after the period of the boycott. Similarly, from that which occurred after the period of the boycott was that which was related to the visitation of the Nasara of Najran. The Nasara of Najran, what is most correct is that there was more than one occasion when they visited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The region of Najran was a region that was close to the borders of Yemen. It was in the south of the Jazeera. And a group of Christians came to the Prophet ﷺ on the basis of the fact that they had heard about him. And what many of the historians hold was that they were a group of Abyssinians who lived in the region. And so they were Christians, but in essence they were Abyssinians who had heard the akhbar and heard the pieces of information concerning the believers that were in Habasha, that were in Ethiopia, and concerning the good pleasure of Najashi for them. And so they had heard about the messenger, and they had with them good hope or good suspicions about the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they went to visit the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to hear from him. And so when they came, as occurs in an authentic narration, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Quran to them. فَلَمَّا سَمِعُوا الْقُرْآنَ فَاضَتْ أَعْيُنَهُمْ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited the Quran to them, and when they heard the Quran, their eyes shed tears. They began to cry. فَمَسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَآمَنُوا بِهِ. That thereafter they responded to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they believed in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعَرَفُوا مِنْهُمَا كَانَ يُوسِفُ لَهُمْ فِي كِتَابِهِمْ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. And they believed in that which was described to them concerning his affair in their books. فَلَمَّا قَامُوا عَنْهُ اِعْتَرَضَهُمْ أَبُو جَهْلِ بْنِ هِشَامٍ. And so when they went to leave him, Abu Jahl confronted them. You know, when they turned away, they walked away to leave. Abu Jahl confronted them after they had sat with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Jahl, he said to them, خَيَّبَكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَكْبٍ. He said that indeed you are a wretched riding party. And so they said, يعني وما ذاك. He said, بَعَثَكُمْ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ دِينِكُمْ ترتادون لهم وتأتوهم بخبر الرجل فلم تطمئن مجالسكم عنده حتى فارقتم دينكم. He said that the people of your religion, they sent you to find out or to hear information about the man, about what the man has been saying, yani Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They only sent you to find or to seek information. You come, you sit with him, and then you take on board his deen, or you embark upon following his deen. You're a wretched party, so you've left their deen, and you follow his deen. He said to them, وَصَدَّقْتُمُوهُ بِمَا قَالَ. He said, and you've believed in what he said. مَا نَعْلَمُ رَكْبًا أَحْمَقْ مِنْكُمْ. He said, then I don't know of a riding party more foolish than you. And you fools. فَقَالُوا لَهُ. And so they responded to him by saying, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نُجَاهِلْكُمْ لَنَا مَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَكُمْ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. They said, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. We're not going to be ignorant with you. We're upon what we're upon, and you remain upon what you're upon. And so, on the basis of their statement, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed concerning them the ayat in Surah Qasas, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who Allah Azza wa Jalla had given the book before him, indeed they believe in him. وَإِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَرَبِّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مُسْلِمُونَ. The Muslimin, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, and that when the verses were recited to them, They say, we believe in him. Indeed, it is the haqq from our Lord that had reached us prior to this. And we were previously Muslimin. Yani that way they were believers. We were believers in him prior to that. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed those verses, indicating that they said, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنَ. That these will be given their reward twice. And these individuals will be given a reward twice. Once for following the messenger that they followed initially, believing that he was upon the haqq. And again, on the basis of their patience and their sabr, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and they're following the messenger the second time, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward them again. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ فَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. They mention, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, and when they hear al-laghu, when they hear any vain speech, foolish speech, they turn away from it and they say, to us are our actions and to you are yours. Salamun alaykum. peace be upon you. لا نبتغي الجاهلين. We have no interest with the jahilin, with the ignorant. And so the Nasara of Najran, what is most correct is that they were from the companions, or these individuals were from the companions of Najashi. That they were from the companions of Najashi. There was another party from the Christians of Najran that came to the Messenger of Allah, but they were from Ahlul Najran. And they came to the Messenger after the Hijrah, after the migration. And it was on their basis that many of the Mufassirun held that Surah Ali Imran was revealed concerning them, and concerning the Nasara or the Christians of Najran, yani who were from the people of Najran. They rejected the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and their qissa and their story is one that is separate and is different from that which occurred in this qissa. Thereafter, the other and the harm that had come from Quraysh continued. And it was a period, ikhwan, of 3 years prior to the hijrah. And it was 3 years of the muqata'ah, of the boycott. And then there remained another 3 years between the time that the boycott stopped and the migration to Medina. And those 3 years were possibly the worst 3 years in and throughout the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and that difficulty and the hardship that culminated, ikhwan, or began in essence in that which we're about to mention, and that is one of the difficult periods during the life of the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. For indeed, the one that used to protect him, the one that looked after him from the time that he was a youth up until his elderly, or up until his mature age, Abu Talib, he fell sick, he fell ill, and he entered that which was clear and apparent to be his last moments. So the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered upon him. And on the basis of the position that he had with the tribe of Quraysh, there were a number of the notables that were likewise present at his deathbed. And so the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the basis of the da'wah and in protecting the Prophet ﷺ while he gave da'wah, the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to him, Ya Ammi, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَ أُحَاجُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He said, Oh my uncle, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. A kalima and a statement which if you say it, then I would be able to argue your case with Allah Azza wa Jal. Some of Ahlul Ilm mentioned the reason that the Prophet ﷺ, he made that statement to him, was to assure or reassure Abu Talib, since it may have occurred to him that he wishes to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, but it may have occurred to him that now it's too late. It's too late. I never have been a follower. And now I'm at the verge of death. It's too late. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, say la ilaha illallah, a word which if you say it, I'll be able to argue in your defense with Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, a number of Ahlul Ilm from the Muhafiz ibn Hajar and others mentioned the reason, or one of the reasons, that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, was because of the fact that he bore witness and he testified to the fact that Muhammad ﷺ was the messenger of Allah. And that was known. And so the affair then was sufficient for him to say la ilaha illallah. Yani that would have sufficed him, since his testimony that Muhammad ﷺ was the messenger of Allah was already established and was already known. And so those who were present around him from among the mushrikun of Quraysh, they were saying, أَتَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Are you seeking other than the way and the religion of Abdul Muttalib? You're looking to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib? And they continued with him, and the Messenger of Allah continued to say, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the last thing that it was said concerning him was that he died upon the millah and the religion of Abdul Muttalib. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that indeed I'm going to continue to seek forgiveness for you as long as I am not prevented from that. As occurs in the Hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أَنْهَا عَنْ. That indeed, by Allah, I will continue to seek forgiveness for you as long as I am not prevented from doing so. And so Allah Azza wa Jal he revealed, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, indeed, you do not guide who you wish, or who you love, Afwan. You do not guide who you love, but Allah Azza wa Jalla guides who He wishes. And the ayah is a clear evidence of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved Abu Talib. And therefore, the scholars mention the difference between religious love and love that is considered or referred to as tabi'i, that is natural love. A person may naturally have love. Of course, ikhwan, from the affairs related to the deen, is loving and hating for the sake of Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman. Whomsoever loves for Allah, hates for Allah, gives for Allah, prevents for Allah, then he has completed iman. Many an ignorant individual will say, yakhi, it's not permissible to have love for a kafir or have love for a non-Muslim, yakhi la yajuz. And that this is from al-wala wal-bara. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly, and we have an evidence, and the ayah is clear evidence of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had love for Abu Talib, his uncle. And his uncle, though he died, although he was on his deathbed, recognizing the Prophet ﷺ was a prophet, he still didn't embrace and didn't enter Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Indeed, you do not guide who you love. And because you love him, guidance is not in your hands. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. For Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide whomsoever He wishes. And concerning this incident, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions a number of benefits from them. He mentions جَوَازُ زِيَارَةِ الْقَرِيبَ الْمُشْرِكِ وَإِيَادَتِهِ. From the benefits is the permissibility of visiting a mushrik relative during sickness. And that is, of course, established here when Prophet ﷺ visited Abu Talib while he was on his deathbed, yani from the sickness that he ultimately died from. He mentions, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ التَّوْبَ مَقْبُولَةٌ وَلَوْ فِي شِدَّةِ مَرَضِ الْمَوْتِ. He said, what is present within it, likewise, is that tawbah is accepted even if it is in the worst stages of one's sickness that causes, or the sickness that causes one's death. He said, حَتَّى يَسِلُ إِلَى الْمُعَايَنَةِ فَلَا يُقْبَلُ. He said, until one sees the haqq, that is, until the soul begins to leave and he sees the hereafter, he envisions that which is not seen by those who whose souls are still with them. And that then is, established in this hadith up until the last moment. The Prophet ﷺ was saying, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Similarly, he mentions, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ الْكَافِرَ إِذَا شَهِدَ شَهَادَةَ الْحَقِّ نَاجَى مِنَ الْعَذَابِ لِأَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهُ. In it, likewise, Hafidh mentions, is the fact that the kafir, if he bears witness with the testimony of haqq and the testimony of truth, that he will be saved from punishment, since Islam removes that which came before it. He mentions, likewise, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ عَذَابَ الْكَافِرِ مُتَثَاوِتٌ. In it likewise is the fact that the azab of the kafir is on different levels, is of different levels. That is because the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that Abu Talib would receive boots of fire that will cause his brains to boil. And that will be the lightest of the people punished in the hellfire. He will have the lightest punishment of anyone punished in the hellfire. And that then is a clear indication of the fact that the punishment in the hellfire is not on one level. The punishment in the hellfire is of different levels for those who are punished from among the kuffar. Now, punishment for the kuffar. And so as far as the ayah is concerned, and the ayah is a clear evidence, ikhwan, of the fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Abu Talib, yet that in and of itself was not sufficient to guarantee his guidance. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir mentions concerning the verse, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ سُبْحَانَهُ biman yastahiqu al-hidayah mimman yastahiqu al-ghiwayah. Qad thabata fi as-sahihayn annaha nazalat fi Abi Talib am Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa qad kana yahutuhu wa yansuruhu wa yaqumu fi sifati aw fi saffihi wa yuhibbuhu hubban shadidan tabi'iyan la shar'iyyan. فلما حضرته الوفاة وحان أجله دعاه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الإيمان والدخول في الإسلام فسبق القدر فيه واختطف من يده واستمر على ما كان عليه من الكفر ولله الحكمة التامة. الإمام بن كثير he mentions that here Allah عز وجل informs of the fact that he is the one that is acquainted with who deserves guidance from the one who doesn't. He said, and it is established in the Sahihain, in the two Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, that this verse was revealed concerning Abu Talib, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the one who used to protect and aid the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to stand for him, and he used to love him, hubban shadidan tabi'iyan. Prophet ﷺ used to love him, حُبًّا شَدِيدًا. He used to love him with strong, natural love, not religious love. فَلَمَّا حَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاةِ. So when wafat, when death came to him, and his time was close, Prophet ﷺ made da'wah to him, and he called upon him, called him to iman, and to enter into Islam. And so the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal overcame him, and he slipped from his hands, and he remained upon that which he was upon from kufr. And indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has perfect wisdom in all affairs. And that then is here Imam Ibn Kathir mentioning that he used to love him hubban shadidan tabi'iyan la shar'iyya. That he used to love him with strong natural love, not religious love, not shar'i love. That is, he didn't love him because of his deen and the deen that he was upon, or love him because of the shirk that he practiced. La. He loved him on the basis of the fact that it's his uncle, that he raised him like a father, that he protected him, that he looked after him, that he went through himself hardship and sacrifice because of the Prophet ﷺ. He was from those who suffered during the boycott. And it wasn't that the believers were the only ones being boycotted. Even them their tribesmen, and at the head of them, Abu Talib. Because they refused to give the Prophet ﷺ up. That he was one of our tribesmen. And regardless of the deen that he calls to, regardless of the religion that he claims, he's one of our tribesmen. We're not going to give him to you to kill him. La. And so they defended the Messenger of Allah ﷺ even though they were kuffar. And so here, though he went through what he went through, he still did not enter into Islam. And so indeed, in this is something that is imperative, ikhwan, for an individual to reflect upon, or maybe close even to a prophet, even to a messenger, but one's nearness to a person of knowledge, nearness to a person who is upon guidance does not now necessitate or guarantee that an individual will likewise be guided. Since guidance, no doubt, ikhwan, is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and secondly, it is possible that a person is close to the messenger or close to a person of knowledge, but doesn't embark and doesn't follow his way. And so it is not relation, it is not nearness, but it is al-ittiba. It is following that path and remaining steadfast upon that path. Just like the one who has tazkiyat from this and recommendations from that, from individuals who may be from our great scholars and our ulama. It is not the recommendation that is the issue. Actually, the recommendation, no doubt, it will aid him if he's upon the haq. But if he's upon batil, then that recommendation does nothing for him, regardless of who it comes from. As our Sheikh Rabi'a constantly mentions, إِنَّمَا يُزَكِّ الرَّجُلْ أَوْ تُزَكِّ الرَّجُلْ أَعْمَالُ. That indeed a man's recommendation are his actions. His recommendation is not that which is written on a piece of paper, but his actions. And so the mas'ala then is one, ikhwan, that we should reflect upon. As far as the burial of Abu Talib, then Abu Talib was buried by Ali, radiallahu anhu. Recurs a hadith, ikhwan, in Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Messenger of Allah, Ali ibn Abi Talib, after the death of Abu Talib, who was the son of Abu Talib, the father of Ali, ikhwan, after the death of Abu Talib, Ali narrated, after the death of Abu Talib, أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت I came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and I said إن عمك الشيخ الضال قد مات. He said that indeed your uncle, the misguided sheikh, has passed away. And in this, ikhwan, is of course a benefit for those who claim يخي, you can't say Abu Talib died as a kafir, يخي. Or similar to those who say أعوذ بالله, you can't say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's mother and father, his parents were kuffar. أعوذ بالله. Here, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he establishes a number of things. Number one, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, your misguided uncle has passed away. عمك الضال. Number two, he was talking about his own father. And so, if it were that he died upon Iman, then Ikhwan, of course, inevitably he would never have referred to him using such reference. But that establishes the fact that they didn't have the type of ihtiram and respect that we see some of the people of innovation having for Abu Talib. For indeed, Abu Talib, when he passed away, and he was without doubt upon Balala, with everything that he did for the Messenger of Allah, his hujjah was batila. The kalam that he mentioned concerning the reason why he didn't follow the Messenger is batil. The statement I'm afraid of the Quraysh dispraising me is batil. And that is not in any way, shape or form a legitimate or sufficient excuse for abandoning the haqq and abandoning the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, because we are afraid that the people, as occurs in some narrations, that his tribesmen would say, you're only doing so because he's your relative. You're following him upon his religion because he's your close relative. And that kalam, ikhwan, is batil. It is not a sufficient excuse. And so here, Ali ibn Abi Talib established the fact that his father was upon dalala. He said, "Inna ammaka al-shaykh al-dal qad mat." And so he mentions, فَقَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَوَارِ أَبَاكَ. He said, so go and bury your uncle. Some of the narrations indicate that there was no one else, or there was no one other than him to bury him, yani from the immediate relatives of Abu Talib. He said, so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, go and bury your father. ثُمَّ لَا تُحْدِثَنَّ شَيْئًا حَتَّى تَأْتِينِي. He said, and then don't do anything until you come back to me. This is one of the evidences that the people of knowledge use in the issue of a Muslim burying his non-Muslim relative. It is the only evidence that indicates the permissibility of doing so. And so the scholars differ concerning whether or not, if it is, in an instance like this, there was no one else to bury the kafir relative, because in it is ihtiram, in it is honoring that relative. Is from the affairs, no doubt, that there are a number of fatawa concerning, and it may not be perceived and understood by many, but there are in it much by way of wisdom and by way of hikmah that the kafir will see, and those who are alive will see, well, we're honored and respected in life and after death even, and that the believer and the Muslim, he still shows honor and respect. So, you know, it will easily be a preventative barrier from them entering Islam. And after death, we still have a janazah, we still have a funeral, they bury us, they follow our procession and what have you. And so they're still honored and showed respect, which indicates, or must indicate, that our deen is still honored by them, and still respected by them. And there are asbab and there are reasons for the affair and for the ruling. But here, Abu Talib, he was buried by Ali since there was no one else to bury him. And on the basis of what occurred, or on the basis of the situation, the Prophet ﷺ permitted that. And then the Prophet ﷺ, when he returned, he said, فَجِئْتُهُ, as Ali narrates himself, فَجِئْتُهُ فَأَمَرَنِي فَغْتَسَلْتُ وَدَعَى لِي. He said, so I came back to him, and he commanded me to make a ghusl, and then the Messenger of Allah, he made dua for me. Now, concerning, as we mentioned, the outcome then of Abu Talib, there are a number of narrations that indicate that he will have the lightest punishment in the hellfire, but he is, and it is established that he is in the hellfire nonetheless. And so you can imagine the grief of the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, the one ikhwan that continued to protect him. Because of his presence, the Prophet ﷺ didn't need to migrate to Habasha. He remained giving da'wah, and he was protected by his uncle Abu Talib. Harm still reached him, but he was protected from them killing him, from them harming him in any major way. And so you can imagine the grief of the Messenger ﷺ after his uncle had passed away. The one that used to protect him, the one that because of his presence, the harm of the Quraysh didn't reach him, is now passed away. And so the difficulty and the hardship that came to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, it intensified greatly after the death of Abu Talib, his uncle. A few months later, the Prophet ﷺ was hit by another calamity. And that was that the Messenger alayhi salatu salam, he lost the one that was dearest to him at that time, the one that was his companion prior to him entering, or prior to him becoming the messenger, the one that consoled him after he became a messenger, and the one that comforted him and supported him throughout the whole of the messengership, his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha, a few months after the death of Abu Talib, his uncle, Khadija radiallahu anha similarly passed away. There occurs in a narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, upon the authority of Hisham, who narrates from his father, who said, توفيت خديجة رضي الله عنها قبل مخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة بثلاث سنين. He mentions that indeed Khadija passed away before the Messenger made migration to Medina, or some 3 years before the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم migrated to Medina. And on the basis of it, some of the people of knowledge discuss and debate whether or not it was Khadija who passed away first and then Abu Talib, or Abu Talib who passed away first and then Khadija. But that which there is close to unity upon is the fact that Abu Talib was first, and that was followed by Khadija radiallahu anha. And of course, ikhwan, these issues of ikhtilaf and debate occur because of that which may occur in some instances in either A, ambiguity within the text, or B, no clearly stated date within the narration that will mark exactly when some of these affairs occurred. Sometimes the nature of the narrations, the scholars approximate and make an approximation. Sometimes the narrations, in terms of authenticity, there is something from weakness within those narrations, and so they work with that which is present from the riwayat and from the ahadith. Some of them they accept, some of them they reject. Some of them, because of them coming together and supporting one another, they establish what is present within those narrations, like the affair of the Hisar and the Muqata'a. The boycott is established in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari by indication. That which is clearly authentic is established in a hadith in Bukhari when the Prophet ﷺ he said that we will go to the tribe from the tribe of Bani Kinana tomorrow. Haythu taqasamu ala al-kufr. Those who have come together upon kufr. And it's a reference to those tribes who boycotted the Messenger of Allah and boycotted his tribe. Hafiz ibn Hajar, he mentions that in that was an indication, or he referred by way of that is Imam al-Bukhari quoting the hadith, referred by way of that to the muqata'ah, to the boycott. Though the detail that occurs as it relates to the boycott has occurred in three riwayat, in three narrations. In three narrations, all of them narrations that are mursala. But they are strong mursalat. Yani they are weak narrations, but they are three strong narrations. One of them is the mursal of Al-Imam Al-Zuhri. The other is the mursal of Abu Al-Aswad. And the third is the mursal of Urwa ibn Zubair. And so those mursalat, yani they are marasil, though there is a gap between the tabi'i and each of those tabi'in, there is a gap between the tabi'i and the narration itself, or and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it satisfies Ahlul Hadith that there is the story, the narration, it has an origin, it came from three different paths, and they were not from the simple individuals among the tabi'in, from the greatest of the ulama of hadith. And so the story then in its detail is present in those riwayat. The origin of the qissa is present in Sahih Bukhari. And so sometimes some of the issues related to the seerah, ikhwan, they are not as straightforward. We have a hadith, it is clear, khalas, and we move with it. Sometimes the scholars of hadith bring the narrations together. Some of them they sift out and remove in completion because of their weakness. Some of them, the da'af or the possibility of the narration being accepted is something that needs looking into. And they come to a conclusion based upon the numbers of the chains of narration that are present and the statements of the people of knowledge during that time. And so it is oftentimes, in terms of detail, it is oftentimes a difficult task to come to that which is established or at the very least acceptable from the riwayat in many of these stories. And then we have some narrations, ikhwan, that would beautifully explain the scenario if only they were authentic. No. And so shortly after that, ikhwan, we had the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. And of course, ikhwan, Khadija radiallahu anha, she was the most beloved individual to him during that time. And she was his wife for some 25 years. She was a believer from the very beginning. She was the first woman to embrace Islam, and she was the first to support the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Ibn Sa'ad, he mentions in At-Tabaqat, لما توفي أبو طالب وخديجة بنت خويلد رضي الله عنهما اجتمعت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مصيبتان فلزم بيته وأقل الخروج. That he mentioned after the death of Abu Talib and then the death of his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, we had two great musiba, two great calamities that befell the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so after these two calamities, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam lazima baytahu, that he would cling to his home, وَقَلَّ الْخُرُوجِ, and he would leave rarely. And after this period, it was a period of difficulty for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a period of hardship, but it was a period nonetheless that did not prevent the Messenger of Allah from maintaining the adab of the musiba, the adab of the calamity, as Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned concerning his adab, وَكَانَ, as occurs in Zad al-Ma'ad, وَكَانَ مِنْ هَدِيهِ عِنْدَ الْمُصِيبَ السُّكُونَ. Prophet ﷺ, during the calamities, would remain upon sukoon. He would remain tranquil. Yani he wouldn't shout and rip the pockets and slap the cheeks as the Arab used to do during that time. Yani they would wail, and their wailing, ikhwan, would be known and would be heard. Rather, كَانَ مِنْ هَدِيهِ عِنْدَ الْمُصِيبَ السُّكُونَ والرضا بقضاء الله والحمد لله او والحمد لله wal-istirja. He said, and he would likewise be pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. He would praise Allah Azza wa Jal, and he would make istirja, that is, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said, وَيَبْرَأُ مِمَّنْ خَرَقَ لِأَجْلِ الْمُصِيبَةِ ثِيَابَ أَوْ رَفَعَ سَوْتَهُ بِالنَّدَمْ وَالنِّيَاحَ أَوْ حَلَقَ لَهَا شَعْرَ. He said that indeed the Prophet ﷺ, he would free himself from the one who would rip his garments during calamities, any the calamity of death, or raise his voice with wailing and regret, or shave the head because of it. And so when Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, ikhwan, it was from the greatest of the calamities that hit the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There occurs in a hadith in the Sahihain, hadith of Abi Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ata Jibreel an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and came to him, Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, hadihi Khadija tu kad atat ma'aha ina'un fihi idam aw ta'amu sharab. فإذا هي أتتك فاقرأ عليها السلام من ربها ومني وبشرها ببيت في الجنة من قصب ولا سخب فيه ولا نصب. He said that indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was visited by Jibreel رضي الله عنه, and this was before the death of Khadija رضي الله عنها, and said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed this is Khadija, and she comes to you with a vessel that has in it edam. Edam was like a condiment that they would use, they would eat, they would rip bread and dip, and then use bread and dip and eat from it, with having in it food and drink. And when she comes to you, then give her salam from your Lord and from me. Yani manqaba azima jiddan. Give her salam from your Lord. Allah gives her salam. And me, Jibreel. He mentioned, and inform her of a house in Jannah of Qasab, yani from pearl. La sakhabun fihi wala nasab. A house of pearl that has no sakhab. And sakhab is a reference to siyah, or to noise and to disturbance. Nothing from that. A tranquil house of pearl in Jannah, and no nasab, that is no tab, no hardship and toil. Yeah, and a house of tranquility and relaxation. Imam Suhaili, he mentions concerning this statement, munasabat hatain sifatain, the relevance of these two characteristics that were mentioned in this hadith, yani a house that has no nasab and no sakhab, yani no noise and disturbance, and no toil and difficulty, and she would not become tiresome within it. He said the relevance of these two characteristics is أَنَّهُ لَمَّا دَعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَجَابَتْ خَدِيجَةُ طَوْعًا فَلَمْ تُحْرِجْهُ إِلَى رَفْعِ سَوْتٍ وَلَا مُنَازَعَةٍ وَلَا تَعَبٍ فِي ذَلِكَ بَلْ أَزَالَتْ عَنْهُ كُلْ نَصَبٍ وَأَنْسَتْهُ مِنْ كُلِّ وَحْشَةٍ. He said that indeed, the relevance then of these two characteristics, that is, the absence of noise and disturbance, and the absence of toil and difficulty and hardship, is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he called to Islam, she responded to him, yani Khadija responded to him, willingly. And she did not cause him any harm in that regard. She did not cause him any disturbance or nuisance or raise her voice. And she didn't harm him or make his affair tiresome. Rather, she removed that from him. She removed from him a nasab. She removed from him difficulty and hardship and the toil. And she made his affair easy and made his life comfortable. وَأَنْسَتْهُ مِنْ كُلِّ وَحْشَةٍ, and she gave him tranquility from every type of wahsha, every type of empty or desolateness or emptiness that a person may feel or experience. And she made affairs easy and removed from him every makruh, every type of disliked thing. فَنَاسَبَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَنْزِلَهَا الَّذِي بَشَّرَهَا بِهِ رَبُّهَا بِالصِّفَةِ الْمُقَابَلَ لِفِعْلِهَا. And so he said, therefore, it is befitting and relative that the house and that the glad tidings that she received from her Lord concerning the house that she'll receive in Jannah, that it was relative to what she had carried out from her actions during her life. And thus she is considered from the four women who are the best women of the dunya and the best women in Jannah. That which indicates that she is one of the best of the four women of the dunya is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, حَسْبُكَ مِنْ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ مَرْيَمْ بِنْتِ عِمْرَانِ وَخَدِيجَةُ بِنْتِ خُوَيْلِدِ وَفَاتِمَةُ بِنْتِ مُحَمَّدِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَآسِيَةُ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنِ. That it's sufficient for you from the women of the dunya, Maryam, the daughter of Imran, Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And these four were likewise mentioned in another hadith that indicates that they are the best of the women of Jannah. Since these narrations indicate that they were the best of the women of the dunya. And the scholars discussed that they were the best of the women of the dunya in that they were the best of the women of the dunya at their time. At their time. As far as them being the best of the women of Jannah, we have the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, when the Prophet ﷺ khatta Rasulullah ﷺ fil ardi khutootan arba'a. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made four lines in the ground and then he said, Atadruna ma hadha? He said, do you know what this is? And so they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل نساء أهل الأرض خديجة بنت خويلد وفاطمة بنت أفضل نساء أهل الجنة خديجة بنت خويلد وفاطمة بنت محمد ومريم بنت عمران وآسية بنت مزاحم امرأة فرعون. He said, do you know what these lines are, these four lines? So they said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And so he responded that the best of the women of Jannah are Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Muhammad, Maryam bint Imran, and Asiya bint Muzahim, the wife of Fir'aun. The wife of Fir'aun. And when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that statement, Ikhwan, then it tallies with the statement that refers to them being the best of the women of the dunya. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, والقدر المشترك, a nice benefit concerning that, he said, والقدر المشترك بين آسيا ومريم وخديجة أن كل منهن كفلت نبيا مرسلا وأحسنت الصحبة في كفالتها وصدقته فآسيا ربت موسى عليه السلام وأحسنت إليه وصدقته حين بعث ومريم عليه السلام عليها السلام كفلت ولدها أتم كفالة وأعظمها وصدقته حين أرسل وخديجة رضي الله عنها رغبت في تزويج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بها وبذلت في ذلك أموالها وصدقته حين نزل عليه الوحي من الله عز وجل. He said the thing that unites these three, or three of the four women, is that all of them took charge of and took care of and looked after a messenger from the messengers of Allah. He said, for indeed, Asiya, he mentions, Asiya took care of and nurtured Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and looked after him well. And then believed in him when he was sent as a prophet and as a messenger. Maryam, then she was in the custody, or she had in her custody her son, she looked after him well and nurtured him well with a tremendous rearing. And then she believed in him when he was sent. Khadija radiallahu anha, again, she desired to marry the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she partook in spending her wealth upon him. And sadaqathu, she believed in him when he was sent with the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, on the basis of that, these three of the four, they were all mentioned with this great mention. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to love Khadija radiallahu anha to the extent that, as it says in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, ما غيرت على أحد من نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما غيرت على خديجة وما رأيتها ولكن كان النبي يكثر ذكرها. She said radiallahu anha that indeed I was not jealous of any woman from among the women and the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the way I was jealous about Khadija. And I never met her, I never saw her. He said, but she said, وَلَكِنْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُكْهِرُ ذِكْرَهَا. The messenger was plentiful in mentioning her. He said, وَرُبَّمَا, she said, وَرُبَّمَا ذَهَبَ شَاتْ ثُمَّ يُقَطِّعْهَا أَعْضَاءً ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهَا فِي سَدَائِقِ خَدِيجَةً. He said that he would on occasion slaughter an animal and then he would cut it into parts and then send some to the friends of Khadija. وَرُبَّمَا كُنْتُ لَهُ كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِمْرَعَ إِلَّا خَدِيجَةً. She said, and I would say to him, it's as though there was no woman and there's no woman in the dunya other than Khadija. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ وَكَانَتْ وَكَانَ لِي مِنْهَا وَلَدْ. That he used to say, she was like this and she was like this, and I had children with her. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he loved Khadija radiallahu anha. And of course, Ikhwan, being the Messenger ﷺ that he was, having the characteristic and the adab and the mannerism that he had, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That indeed you have the greatest and the most noble of character. How possibly could Khadija radiallahu anha have done what she'd done and taken care of him and aided him throughout these times of difficulty and been a rock for him, alayhi salatu salam. And then after her death, he does not, and abandons considering her and remembering the great fadl and virtue and the great manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal provided and granted him a wife that supported him and was there for him and aided him. And so, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said there was no one from the wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I was jealous of the way I was jealous of Khadija. And concerning the specific characteristics of Khadija, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, and we round up with this, rather, Afwan al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned some benefits, and that is that Aisha or Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't marry any woman after or upon Khadija. Yani he didn't marry any woman alongside her. Similarly, from the benefits or from the khasa'is or from the specific characteristics related to Khadija is that all of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's children other than Ibrahim, all of them were from Khadija. And Ibrahim was from Maria. And Maria was a slave girl that the Messenger ﷺ had his son Ibrahim with, and Ibrahim died when he was 18 months old. Similarly, from the khasa'is and the specific characteristics related to Khadija is that she was the best of the women of the Ummah. Likewise, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions أنها رضي الله عنها لم تسوءه sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qat, that she never caused him any harm or dislike qat at all. And there was no instance that she upset him. No instance and no time that she did something that he disliked. Similarly, he mentions ومن خصائصها رضي الله عنها أنها أول امرأة آمنت بالله ورسوله من هذه الأمة. From her specific characteristics is that she was the first woman that embraced Islam and believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger from this Ummah. Likewise, from her specific characteristics, أن الله تعالى بعث السلام مع جبريل. Is that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent salam to her alongside the salam of Jibreel alayhi salam. He said, وهذه لعمر الله خاصة لم تكن لسواها رضي الله عنها. He said, and by Allah, this is a specific characteristic that no one else has received. And it is a fair of Allah Azza wa Jalla giving her salam, sending her salam, and Jibreel alayhi salatu salam sending salam. This is something, a specific characteristic that no one else had received. And so, the loss of Abu Talib, the loss of Khadija radiallahu anha, was something that was tremendous upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet still throughout the period, ikhwan, he remained sabir, muhtasib, and he continued to give da'wah, continued to call to Allah Azza wa Jal. But we see that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decided to embark upon a different strategy in calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we'll look at that next week inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad. Wa akhir da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.